Yes, it is Mastermind. A lone contestant walks up to an empty black chair. An invited studio audience claps briefly. The contestant sits down under the glare of the studio lights, and the TV presenter introduces him or her. 15 is the score you have to beat. You have 2.5 minutes to answer questions on general knowledge. Let's see if you can make it through to the next round. As we were reminded at the beginning, many of us will recognize the form of the popular BBC television show Mastermind. The winner of Mastermind 2014-15 was a lady called Marianne Fairthorne. She had questions in her 3 rounds on the following subjects: the Empress Livia, Chantal Hugues, and Caterina Sforza. I'm not going to embarrass us or you. Does anybody know who the Empress Livia was married to? Which emperor? He does occur in the Bible. Caesar, which one? Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, yes, Caesar Augustus's wife. Chantal Hugues is where? It is. Turkey. Does anyone know who Caterina Sforza is or was? By the way she's dressed, she was. I don't know. And how many of you know how many points I've got in my message today? No, that's boring. Has to be 7, of course, the number of perfection. So this really just illustrates how little we know. Some of us know bits and pieces about a few things. We might even aspire to take part in Mastermind, but even Marianne Fairthorne didn't know all there was to know about her 3 chosen subjects. God knows everything. This is what John says in his first letter. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. If you think this is just a teaching from the New Testament, let's look at Elihu's words recorded in the book of Job, probably written about 1,500 years before Jesus came. Do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge. Our God is perfect. There's no flaw, there's no deficiency in him, and he's perfect in knowledge. He is perfect in all that he knows. If he wasn't knowledgeable, if he didn't know everything, then he would not be perfect. Because he's perfect, he knows everything. Because he knows everything, he is perfect. And God knows himself. This might be a rather basic statement, but it's true. And this is what Paul teaches in his letter to the Corinthians. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What Paul is talking about here is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and his knowledge, presumably of himself and of the other two persons of the Trinity. But it's clear from this passage that God knows everything there is to know about himself. And again, this is a truth that is found in the Old Testament too. Here is the prophet Isaiah writing about 700 years before Jesus. Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or has instructed him as his counselor? Whom did God consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Because God is perfect, because God knows everything, he doesn't need anyone to teach him anything. In fact, he can't learn anything new from anyone, because he's perfect, because he has all knowledge, because he's God. Who can teach him knowledge or show him the path of understanding? The answer clearly is no one. And God knows the future. Here again is Isaiah. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God knows the end from the beginning. He's God. He's outside of time. He knows what's going to happen, even from ancient times. He knows everything there is to know about all that is past and all that is to come. My purpose will stand. I will do all that I please. Because God is God, he does what he pleases, and his purpose will be fulfilled. Nothing that he wants to happen will fail from coming to pass. And here's David. He says something similar to Isaiah. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Daniel chapter 11, I think, is one of the most remarkable chapters in the whole Bible. The prophet Daniel is given a revelation of what was future to him. It's not future to us. It's basically the period between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New. It covers about 370 years. And Daniel is told what is going to happen, but he's not told in terms of the names of the people. Most of the people that occur in this passage are simply described as king of the north or king of the south. And there are a few other people thrown in, including two ladies whose names I've highlighted here in red. 22 men and two women are mentioned in this chapter. When Daniel had this revelation, very few, if any of them, had been born. But they were all known to God, and God revealed to Daniel what was going to happen through these people. It's a very clear indication that God knows what is going to happen. But we can be more personal than that. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, is a verse that many of you may even have hanging from your fridge or somewhere in your kitchen, because it's one of those verses that really does encourage us as believers. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God knows the future. That's very clear. He knows all the details of what's going to happen, but he also knows what's going to happen to us. He knows our future. That's the encouragement that we can derive from verses like this in his word. And this leads us nicely on to what is my next point. God knows me. And here is David in Psalm 139. And I've used two colours to highlight two different things. In green, you can see that God knows. And in red, you can see what he knows, which is me. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. But this passage, I think, makes it very clear. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too lofty for me to attain. And Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, says also that God the Father knows us. More specifically, he knows what we need before we ask him. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him, he says. God knows that I love him. Here is what Peter says to Jesus after Jesus has been risen from the dead. Before Jesus died, of course, Peter denied him. And this touching scene by Lake Galilee, Jesus and Peter have a head-to-head. And Jesus restores Peter to relationship with himself. And at the end of it, Peter says, Lord, you know all things. We know this from all that we've learned so far. But the key thing is not just that God knows all things. It's how Peter responds in this particular verse. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And as believers, that is or should be our response. We know that God knows all things, but he needs to know that we love him. God is a judge, and as a judge, he knows. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 3, this is Hannah speaking in part of her prayer. For the Lord is a God who knows. By him, deeds are weighed. There's going to come a day when deeds, all that we've done, are going to be examined by the God who knows. My last point is perhaps one of the most awesome or frightening passages in the whole of the Bible. Here is Jesus speaking during his Sermon on the Mount. He's addressing people who claim to know him, but in fact do not know him. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is strong stuff. It's as if these people never existed. It's as if God had never had any knowledge of them. Because they did not know God, God does not know them. Away from me, Jesus says, all you evildoers. So, God knows. We've seen what God knows. We've seen that God knows everything. We've seen that God knows himself. We've seen that God knows the future. We've seen that God knows me. And that we, or whether or not we love him. We can see that God is a judge. And because he's a judge, of course, he knows. Let's return briefly to what David says in Psalm 139. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I don't know how you respond to teaching from the Bible like this. This is quite serious and heavy stuff. Some of us, I think, are threatened by statements like, God knows everything. God knows all that I think, all that I see, all that I do. So how do we respond? For David, it was an awesome thing. Too wonderful for me, he says, too lofty for me to attain. God's knowledge of him was something that challenged him, that took him out of himself, that lifted him into another dimension. David realized that he was just a creature created by God. Such knowledge was too wonderful for him, too lofty for him to attain. How should we respond to this truth? Well, I believe it's in the opening lines that I've flagged up on the screen there. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. God knows us, but he's never just in an abstract way. God is there with us. He hems us in behind and before. If we are the Lord's, if we know him, he's there behind us and before us. We can't get out of his love and his knowledge. He's there behind us and before us to protect us. To be hemmed in by God is actually a very good thing. And he's laid his hand upon us. Now, it's interesting to know what word is used for hand. In the Hebrew Bible, there are two words for hand. There's yav, which is this bit, and there's kaf, which is this bit. Which bit do you think is used here? It's kaf, yes. It's the soft bit of God's hand. The hard bit, the bit with the knuckles, is what protects us. But underneath is God's soft hand, the palm in English, the calf. And that's what we come under as believers. We have the top bit to protect us, but we have the bottom bit, the soft bit, if you like, that is actually with us, the bit that we are under. So, as believers, we are under God's hand. God knows everything about us. Of course he does. He's God. How do we respond? Well, I believe the best way is just to place ourselves yet again under God's hand, under his palm, and to ask for him to be God, to be Lord in our lives, and to direct us in all that we do. Okay.